Reading a couple of places, Acts chapter number 12, first of all, and then I want to go to the book of Psalm 107 tonight. Acts chapter 12 and then Psalm 107. Praise God. I appreciate the presence of the Lord that we have felt tonight in this service. Thank you so much for those that were able to come to the church and pray, those that have been praying for revival at home. We're believing the Lord is going to meet us. God is going to give us great revival. Praise God. I'm not wanting just a few night services. Amen. I'm wanting an outpouring of the Spirit of God that will change us and change those around us. Amen. If you'd like to stand tonight as we read the word of the Lord in Acts chapter number 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise God. Psalms chapter 107 tonight. Amen. I call this the sailor's psalm, chapter 107, as it gives a glimpse there of those that do business in great waters. And we find in this chapter where a storm has come to these sailors. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. Amen. Trouble has came to them. And I want to pick up just verse 27 and 28. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Praise God. I want to preach tonight on prayer at wit's end. Would you help me, Father, in the name of Jesus? Oh, my God, we're asking you tonight for the Holy Ghost to fall upon this congregation, that the Spirit of the Lord would touch us in such a way, oh God, that you would manifest your glory in this building tonight. Those, God, that are here in this service, Lord, that are at wit's end, I pray tonight, Lord, that hope would arise within their heart. Hope would arise within their soul, oh God. Lord Jesus, that what the power of God can do for them, Lord, even in this altar, let it come to pass. I pray in the name of Jesus. We'll praise you for it, Lord. Let all of the church say amen. Prayer has often been the last resort for most people. It has been the last resort by choice because we often choose other things before we bring our problems to the Lord in prayer. We resort to our minds and we try to think it through, figure it out for ourselves. We often resort to our money and we try to buy our way out of the problems that we find ourselves in. And then we oftentimes resort to manpower to try to fix it ourselves. When in the end, prayer becomes necessity, the last resort of our life. When people have done all that they could do, then they will turn to God and pray about it. You know, it's really a sad thought that prayer is a last resort, but it's also one of the least resorts. Because in our mentality, we tell people oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this, well, I wish that I could do more for you, but I will pray for you. Amen. As though prayer is the least thing that we could possibly do, when in fact, prayer is the greatest thing that we could do. Amen. We can do nothing any better than to pray about situations that are in our life. The song Brother Nick sung tonight, I've never heard that song, but I caught part of the verse or one of the courses that said about holding on to a thread. Amen. Just barely holding on, that God is going to come to you and God is going to help you. And that is where these sailors were at in Psalm 107. They had went down to the sea. They had done their business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And they see that the waves begin to mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. These sailors have seen the storm come in their life. It rises and it falls. It is up and it is down. Amen. In their life, their soul is being melted because of their trouble, and they are at their wits' end. The wits' end is at the very end of your wisdom, at the end of your ability, at the end of what you think that you could do about it. And these sailors were at their wits' end. Now, I've been feeling in my heart of preaching to those of us in this service tonight that whatever situation is in your life, and you may feel like these sailors here, that you are at the end of your rope, and you're hanging on by a thread to some aspect of your life, and you are at your wits' end. Amen. The Bible tells us that when they got to their wits' end, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Now, I want to tell somebody here tonight, you may have done everything you know to do. You may have exhausted every resource. Amen. It may be a last resort in your life, but you can still pray about it. Amen. I said you can still pray about it. When you reach the wit's end in your life, you can still pray about the situation that you are in. Prayer, amen, is still able to change our situations. Prayer is still able to change our circumstances. Prayer is still able to change us. Amen. Prayer is still able to change those that we love that are not doing what we desire them to do. Prayer is still able to change our finances. Prayer is still able to change whatever situation it is. Somebody said when you're at the end of the rope, just tie a knot and hold on. But I want to preach to you here tonight. When you're at the end of your rope, tie the knot, but pray. Amen. You can pray when you find yourself at wit's end. You can pray when you're at the end of the rope and you're hanging on by a thread. And prayer can change things in your life. Praise God. In our text in the book of Acts, we read of one of the most difficult times that had ever come to the church. The church is still very young in this chapter, and we find the Bible tells us that Herod stretches forth his hand and begins to vex certain of the church. The king of the Jews is against the church. And we find that he stretched his hand forth against one of the highest apostles in the church, against James. James was one of the leaders of the church. And he put his hand on James and beheaded him, killed him with the sword. And so brother James has been killed. Not only James, the apostle James, has been taken, but Peter also has been taken as a prisoner. He is in the hold of 16 soldiers, 4 quaternions of soldiers. And you read on in that chapter where 2 chains have him bound down. And there's a soldier on each side. There is a soldier at the doorways to keep anybody from coming in or from going out. And so the picture is very, very bleak. And the church is in quite a quandary as they're wondering, what are we going to do? 2 of our preachers, 2 of our leaders, 2 of our apostles has been taken. One is dead. And if God doesn't do something quick, the other is going to be dead. It was Herod's intention to bring Peter out and to kill him before all of the people and make him a public example. And so the church, it might be said at this moment, was at their wit's end. They did not know what to do. They could not break Peter out of prison because they had him so secure and so bound down. They knew that Herod meant business because James had already been beheaded. Not since Saul was wreaking havoc in the church. Do you read where the church was in such a condition as they are now, as fear begins to grip their heart? Amen. They may have discussed, what can we now do? They may have come together and said, what's going to happen to brother Peter? What's going to happen to the rest of the apostles? Is this going to be from now on one after the other dying? Amen. Can you feel the fear
that was gripping their heart. There's nothing we can do, Peter. Peter is going to be killed. And James is already dead. But I hear somebody say, yes, we can still pray. Amen. We can still pray. Yes, James has been killed. And it looks like Peter may be killed. Amen. But we're at wit's end. But let's pray. At wit's end. Amen. We're at the end of our rope. We've exhausted all our resources. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to get a hold of God. I want to encourage somebody here, amen, in this service tonight. When you're at wit's end, that is a place to begin to pray. Hallelujah. Prayer still changes things. And so prayer was made without ceasing of the church under God on Peter's behalf. Impossible situation. There was no way that anybody could break in and break Peter out of prison. Amen. No human couldn't do it. Amen. No human could break through that prison. But God sent his angel into that prison. He did not need them to open the door for him to get in. He did not need to disturb all of those soldiers that was watching over Peter. But the angel of the Lord came to Peter and awoke him from his sleep. And I love that, brother. I love the peace that is in Peter's heart. Amen. He's bound by two chains. Soldier on each side. Knowing that James has been killed. But he's sleeping. Sounded like a little baby in the midst of his prison. I'm glad God puts peace in our heart. I'm glad God puts peace in our mind. I'm glad we don't have to be fearful and afraid about what tomorrow holds. Can you say amen? Oh, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. When storms of doubt against me roll, oh, Rock of Ages, would you keep my soul? Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Peter is an example to every one of us. And when we find ourselves in a quandary, when we find ourselves in a prison, we can have peace. Amen. Peter was locked up and the church was a-praying. They had called an all-night prayer meeting. They had called what we used to have when I was a young boy, an old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting. That's when you gathered at somebody's house. Amen. They might have ate a little bit of food and had a little fellowship, but their main cause was coming together was to pray. And to seek the face of God. And I remember as a boy, amen, somebody would have an old box guitar, and we'd get together in somebody's living room, amen, and we would testify, and then we would call out upon the name of the Lord and have an old time cottage prayer meeting, amen. It's hard anymore to get people to come to church, much less have another prayer meeting at home. But I'm telling you, when you get to wit's end, that's what the church has got to do, amen. All of our family needs a church that's praying. Amen. This community needs a church that's praying. This nation needs a church that's praying. Hallelujah. Amen. They're at their wit's end, but they're praying. Amen. And God is moving. Praise God. He sends his angel down into that prison and wakes Peter up. And tells him to bind on his sandals. His chains fall off. Amen. The soldiers just stay unmoved. They don't even realize anything is going on. You say, preacher, I really don't know how this is going to work out. I really don't know how God can do this. What I need to be done. Amen. He supernaturally, amen, rescued Peter out of that prison. The guards never once noticed it. The doors that were made of iron opened up all by themselves. Amen. Even Peter himself thought it was a dream. It was so mysterious. It was so miraculous. It was so supernatural. Amen. That Peter said, I must be dreaming. But when he looked around him in the street, and he said, the Lord had sent his angel. Amen. And the people of God had prevailed in prayer. And he went to John Mark's mother's house, where a lot of them had gathered together. And they were still calling out upon God. Tell you, when you get to your wit's end, that's a good place to pray, because prayer still changes things. Hallelujah. Prayer still changes things. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. When you get to where you can't do anything else, you can still pray. Amen. Praise God. There's a few places I want to visit here in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 15, you see that the children of Israel had just been released from Egyptian bondage. It is a type of coming out of the world and a type of being saved. Amen. They had only been out of Egypt for 3 short days. And they ran into trouble. Amen. The Bible said they came to Marah, and the waters at Marah were bitter. And they were in a desert land and could not drink the water. They were dry and they were thirsty. And some of them felt like giving up. They had really reached their wits' end. They was only 3 days out of Egypt, and already trouble had come. I'd like to say to somebody here tonight, if you haven't been saved very long and you are a new convert, you're going to find yourself sooner or later at your wits' end. You're going to find yourself, amen, facing the troubles of life. Just because you are Christian does not mean you won't be troubled and you won't have to face difficulties and find yourself at the end of the rope. And that's where they found themselves. Their water, they could not drink it. Oh, just 3 days ago they were shouting. Just 3 days before Miriam had the tambourine. Just 3 days before they saw Pharaoh and his host drown in the sea. But now trouble has come. But the Bible tells us that whenever they found themselves at the end of the rope and they were in trouble, that Moses cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he said, put that tree in the water and everything will be all right. Can I tell you, young convert, you hadn't been saved very long and you may find yourself in some trouble. You may find yourself in a hard spot. That's a good place to pray. That's a good place to pray. And God will show you what to do. And God will show you how to fix it when you find yourself at wit's end. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. We find Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Amen. Hannah was a young lady that was in trouble in her family. She was having family trouble. Amen. I preached to a new convert that's at wit's end. Amen. But Hannah was at wit's end in her family. She was being provoked by her adversary. Amen. We find that her husband had married 2 wives. And that other wife was constantly badgering Hannah. Hannah was a godly woman. Amen. But her womb was shut up and she could not have children. And Peniah, I believe, was the other woman's name that was constantly on her, putting her down and causing trouble. Amen. Causing trouble in their marriage. Causing trouble in their life. Family trouble. I wonder if anybody here tonight, you're at wit's end with your family trouble tonight. Amen. You've gone as far as you know to go. Amen. You've resorted to everything you can resort to. You feel like you're at the end of the rope and at your wit's end. The Bible tells us that Hannah went to the house of God and she began to pray. She was misunderstood. And sometimes you'll be misunderstood. The preacher misunderstood her and misunderstood her intentions. And the old man of God thought she was drunk because she was so sorrowful. She couldn't even get a word out. Have you ever been at the end of the rope and you couldn't even pray? Have you ever been your family in such trouble that you didn't know what to say? Amen. At the end of the rope, at your wit's end, is a good place to pray and call out on God. Even you may not be able to get the words out, but let your heart cry out to God. Amen. She cried out to God from her heart. She was at the end of the rope. I can't take this anymore, God. I can't take what she's saying to me, how she's treating me, what's going on in my family, the division and the trouble, and what it's brought into my home. God, what am I going to do? I've tried everything. Her husband said, you're worth more to me than all these sons. Don't let it bother you. Amen. That's easy for them to say, isn't it? Come on now. Don't let it bother you. Don't let the finances bother you, honey. Don't let the children bother you, honey. Don't let these things bother you. Amen. But when it's a bothering you, it's bothering you. Come on now. And sometimes it brings you to the end of the rope. But Hannah cried out to the Lord at wit's end, and the Lord heard her prayer. Praise God. And 9 months later, amen, she gave forth a son who became one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, Samuel. Amen. Listen to me. If your family's in trouble tonight, you may have tried everything you know to try. I'm telling you, you can still pray. And there is power in prayer. You got wayward children that's lost. Amen. There is still power in prayer to get a hold of their heart and bring them to an altar. Amen. You got situations in your home that you can't fix. You can do something about it. You can't talk it through. You can't work it out. But you can pray. And when you get to wit's end, pray about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. She prayed about her family, and God heard her prayer. Amen. Amen. There's still prayer at wit's end. At the end of the rope, tie a knot and pray. Thank God. Tie a knot and pray. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, you see where the people of God were having revival, turning their hearts back to God. And the enemy rose up against that. I've preached to some new converts. I've preached to some people that's got family trouble. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're trying to get closer to God and trying to have revival, the devil is sure to rise up. Amen. The children of Israel had gathered together, I believe at Mizpah. And there Samuel had told them, turn away from your idols. Turn away from your gods. And they did. And they were turning their heart to the Lord. And when they did, the Philistines heard about it. You know the devil knows we're going to try to have revival. You know the devil knows that you've been trying to have prayer meeting. The devil knows you've prayed more this week than you have in the past several weeks. The devil sees that you're trying to do something, amen, to have a move of God in your life. And he's going to rise up against you. Amen. And so Israel gathered together, but the Philistines come against them. Amen. And they said, oh, man of God, cease not to cry out to God for us. And Samuel cried unto the Lord. And the Bible said the Lord sent a great thundering and thundered against them. And the Lord brought deliverance unto Israel that day. Amen. I say we can't have revival. You say, preacher, I'm dead. Preacher, I'm dry. Preacher, it's been so long since I prayed through. Preacher, I got to have a move of God. I say get to praying at wit's end, and God will send you revival. Hallelujah. When you reach that point where you feel like I'm ready to give up on God, pray. Amen. When I can't feel what I used to feel, pray. When the preacher preaches and it doesn't do me any good, pray. Hallelujah. When you can't conquer the sin that's besetting you, pray. When you can't leave it alone, pray. When you can't stop looking at it, pray. When you can't stop indulging and thinking about it, pray. And the power of God will come to you, and the Lord will drive the enemy back and give you a personal revival. Hallelujah. When you get down spiritually, pray. Hallelujah. Prayer will bring you up out of it. Prayer will put the fire back in your soul. Prayer will help you live right and do right. Prayer will help you say no to what you need to say no to and yes to what you need to say yes to. Thank God. Amen. Prayer is power. I said prayer is power. And whenever you pray, God will give you power in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here tonight and you face sickness and you're at your wit's end with it, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and did not know what to do because a death sentence had been passed upon him and he was going to die. What else can I do? I can't call a doctor. He's not going to do me any good. I can't take more medicine. It's not going to do me any good. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and Hezekiah began to pray. When he faced wit's end in his life, through the sickness, he turned to the wall and began to pray. Oh, there's power in prayer. I've already quoted the scripture. Any among you afflicted, let him pray. Amen. If you don't feel good, pray about it. If you're sick, pray about it. Amen. We pray less when we're sick, when we ought to be praying more when we're sick. Amen. You may not have strength to walk around. You may not be able to kneel on your knees, but from your heart, cry out to God. Amen. Those of you that are getting a little older and you're getting a lot of physical problems, cry out to the Lord. Amen. When you get to wit's end and you wake up every day and you're aching, you wake up every day and you're burning down, it's a good time to pray and let God come to you. Hallelujah. The devil wants us to get us down physically so we will not pray. When you get down and afflicted in your body, pray, my brother. Pray, my sister. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can't utter a word, call out from your heart and your mind unto God. Amen. He can hear our heart. Can you say amen? Praise God. Daniel faced an onslaught from the society and the government and the hour in which he lived. Those presidents that was in his job place with him, the government had come against him in such a way, amen, that you and I are facing the same similar things today. It's amazing and appalling at what's going on in our country, and I'm not even going to go there tonight because it's not going to do any good to go there. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. But whenever the law was passed that Daniel could not pray, amen, what do you do whenever the government tells you you can't live for God? What do you do when the government tells you you can't call out on the Lord that saved you and redeemed you? Amen. He was at his wit's end. He knew that if he prayed, he was going to be cast into a den full of lions. Somebody said, I know if I get to praying, the devil's going to jump on me. Yes, he will. Amen. You try to get closer to God, the devil's going to rise up. Yes, he will. But old Daniel prayed anyway. And he prayed in the morning. And he prayed at noon. And he prayed at night. Though he was at his wit's end, he knew the best thing for him to do was pray. Oh, preacher, what are we going to do about the Republicans and the Democrats? I'll tell you what we do. We need to pray. What are we going to do when our country's in the shape it's in? Our nation is going down to nothing. We're going to be destroyed, yes, but it's a good time to pray. It's a good time to get a hold of God. When society around you is going down, get down on your knees and pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it. Amen. I'll do my civic duty as best I possibly can. And it may be the first time in my life I've ever wrote a candidate in. I might pick one of you guys. I don't know. Amen. I'd rather vote for any one of you. Even I'd rather vote for Clara than I had vote for some of them that's a running. Praise God. And she can't say a word. Amen. It'd be better to listen to what they have to say. But I tell you what I can't do. I can't pray about it. Amen. When you get to wit's end, you can't do anything else, you can still pray. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you here tonight on some scriptures about prayer whenever you're at wit's end. Prayer still works. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He shall, this is God speaking to that one that will dwell with God. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. God said, I am going to hear you when you get in trouble. Praise God. When you find yourself at the end of the rope and at wit's end, God said, if you'll pray, I'll hear you. And Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. then shall ye call upon me. He's talking to Israel when they were in Babylon and in trouble. He said, then shall you call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and gather you in from all the nations. When you get in trouble, God still hears and answers prayer. Amen. Our Lord said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Thank God. What am I going to do about my situation, preacher? I believe you can still pray about it, and the power of God can still move. Let the doubt be gone from your mind. Let the doubt be erased from your heart, and believe that prayer will change things. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, what things soever ye desire. Amen. That covers everything. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Praise God. When you find yourself at wit's end, amen, I believe you ought to pray in the morning. Psalm 5:3 said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. And in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Praise God. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray in the evening. Psalm 141:2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray in the noontime. Psalm 55:17, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray all night. For Jesus continued all night in prayer unto God. I'm trying to tell somebody right where you're at. Amen. It's a good time to pray. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray in a secret place. Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray in a solitary place. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. When you find yourself at wit's end, pray in a public place. Even then will I bring them to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I'm trying to tell you when to pray. I'm trying to tell you where to pray. Amen. When you're at wit's end, get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Pray a holy prayer. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Pray an earnest prayer. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And as his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Pray a faithful prayer. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. When you find yourself at the end of the rope, there is still prayer. Hallelujah. Pray every chance you get. I said, pray every chance you get. Pray, get alone with God. But if you can't get alone with God, pray anyway. Pray on your job. Pray at church. Pray, amen, as you're riding down the highway. Amen, humble your heart down in whatever way, in every form possible. Amen, but when you find yourself at wit's end, keep on praying. Hallelujah. Don't understand, preacher. I think it's too far gone. You don't understand, preacher, I've done everything I know to do. You don't understand, preacher, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And my friend, I'm trying to get you to understand, that's whenever you turn to prayer. When you've done all that you can do and there's nothing else to resort to prayer. Because prayer changes things, amen? In Matthew chapter number 18, this is wonderful here, and we're going to be closing here in just a moment and come to the altar.
But in Matthew chapter number 18, hear the word of our Lord. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And notice this, four. That means because of what I just said, four, where two or three are gathered in together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I want to say to you here tonight, you are not alone at wit's end. There's people here that'll pray. There's people that'll pray with you. There's people that'll pray for you. And when we gather together in the name of the Lord, He shows up, praise God. And He's going to be right there with us when we face the end of the rope. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. It's going to happen to every one of our lives. As a Christian, you're going to reach the point in your life you have no one else to turn to, nowhere else to go. But when you fall on your knees and begin to pray and begin to seek the face of God, that's where you will find the answer, is when you pray. I want you to bow your heads with me as my wife comes tonight. Get us a song here, if you will, for Josh. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, Lord, all week long I have felt your presence, God, as your people have been praying. Oh, God, I have felt changes coming. I have felt things happening, oh, God. I have felt, O God of heaven, revival moving because people are praying. Some right here tonight, Lord, are at the very end of their wisdom. They've reached the end of their rope in their family, their business, relationships, situations, oh God. Spiritually, some, Lord, are at the end of their rope spiritually. They need a reviving. They need a revival. Every problem will be solved, oh God, by prayer. Every situation will be mended by prayer. God, we can still pray about it. When we get to our wits' end, they reeled to and fro like drunken men. They were at their wits' end, and then they called upon the Lord. He heard them and brought them to their desired haven. He brought them to the harbor, to a safe place. When those old sailors felt like they were going to sink, Lord, they cried to you. And you heard their prayer. You brought them to where they needed to be. I ask you, God, right now across this congregation, Lord, I cannot help your people. I cannot touch them, oh God. Oh Lord, but I can only preach the message you have put in my heart, Lord. God, I pray let hope arise tonight, God. That they can say, I can still pray. I can still pray about it. Hallelujah. It seems impossible, but I can still pray. God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do. Have you got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Have you got any mountains that you cannot climb? God specializes in things thought impossible. Praise the Lamb of God. I'm trying to build up some faith in your heart right now that when you pray, you can believe that God will move, save your family, save your spouse, save your children, save your parents, that God can intervene in your situation through prayer. Hallelujah.
Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Yet he prayed. Elijah was not great because of some talent or ability. He was great because he prayed. The apostle tells us we can be as great as Elijah if we will pray. He prayed and it rained not. He prayed and it rained again. Moses was a prayer. Samuel, Hannah, their situations. Daniel was a prayer. You don't have to be a great prayer. Just pray. Pray from your heart. Pray in sincerity. Pray in truthfulness. Seek the face of God. Get alone with God. Take time out of your busy day and pray at the end of your rope. Pray. Make a move toward God in prayer and He will move for you. As you're standing here tonight, we're going to come to the altar here in just a moment. But when you come, my brother and sister, I earnestly ask you to lay your burden on this altar and give it to God. Give your family to God. Give your trouble to God. Give your situation to God tonight. Tie a knot and pray. Give it to God. Amen. Has anybody got something they want to talk to God about tonight? Does anybody want to come and kneel down before the Lord in this altar? Bring it to Him right now. Bow before Him right now. Oh, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, teach us to pray. Not just how to pray, Lord, but teach us to pray. Teach us, God, that when we're in trouble, we ought to pray. That God of heaven, Lord, when we see ourselves slipping spiritually, God, it is a time to pray. Oh, God, if we do not have a prayer life, God, we're backsliding. If we do not have a prayer life, God, we're growing further away from You. Oh, our troubles will overwhelm us like the waves of the sea. And we will be tossed up and down and to and fro. But thank You, God, that we can pray. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, that we can pray. Thank You, God, that we can call upon Your name. Thank You, Lord, that You paid a price for us to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. That there is a throne of grace, a throne of mercy to help us in the time of need tonight, oh God. Let us come to that mighty throne, oh God. Holy, holy. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, pray, my brother, pray, my sister. Block everything out of your mind and pray. Oh, talk to your Heavenly Father in the name of His dear Son and through the power of His Spirit. Talk to Him right now. Pray to your God. Pray about the situation before you make a wrong decision. Pray about the situation before you give up. Pray about it right now. You can still pray. You can still touch God, and God will touch the situation. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless You, I bless You, I bless You, my God. Oh, my God, my God, my God, hear the cry of Your church. Lord, hear the prayers of Your people tonight, oh God. Oh, take the burden, oh God, take the yoke, oh God. Bring deliverance, oh God, and bring healing, oh God.